Hello everyone. Welcome to Database and Methods, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. Thank you to CIDR for providing technical and promotional support. Database and Methods is one of VIREC's core cyber seminar series, and it really focuses on helping VA researchers access and use VA databases. This next slide shows the series schedule for the year. Sessions are typically held on the first Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find more information about this series and other VIREC cyber seminars on VIREC's website, and you can view past sessions on HSRND's VIREC cyber seminar archive. A quick reminder to anyone just joining us, slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of a sample email you should receive today before the session, and in it you will find the link to download the slides. Today's presentation is titled United States Veterans Eligibility Trends and Statistics, a New Data Source with Socioeconomic Variables. It will be presented by Drs. R. George Hauser and Ankur Parkova. George is the Medical Director of Clinical Chemistry at the VA Connecticut Healthcare System, and he holds a joint appointment as Assistant Professor at the Yale University School of Medicine. He will be joined by his colleague, Ankur Parkova, who is a Research Associate at the Yale Center for Medical Informatics. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. This is Dr. Hauser, and I have Dr. Parkova next to me.
Hello.
We're going to jump right in here to the talk. So these are the objectives of this seminar. The first objective is to go over what the US VETS database is and how it can be used. We'll show you some of the socioeconomic data that's available in US VETS, which we think is unique to this data source. And we'll also talk about some of the questions related to access and how it can be accessed by researchers and operations folks who may be interested in using this as a data source for their projects. We've outlined the story here on the slide, so we'll tell you about how the US VETS data came to exist, the quality metrics that they've used to assess it and evaluate it, how it's organized, and the specific data elements that are available in the US VETS data source, and then we'll finalize with the access. Okay, so this is the story behind US VETS, and we'll start off with what it is, and who made it, and why they made it, and how they made it. So US VETS is a data source on all veterans. So these veterans may be part of the Veterans Health Administration, which I think a lot of the people on this call are part of, but it's also part of the broader Department of Veterans Affairs. So it includes all US veterans. And the data source contains about 250 variables from over 35 data sources. Those data sources are include the VHA, but also include different administrations. The people who produce this are from the Office of Enterprise Integration. So they're an office within the Department of Veteran Affairs, which is different than what we are. So we're here, the Veterans Health Administration. This Office of Enterprise Integration has its own org chart, and within their org chart, they have the Data Governance and Analytics Group, and that's the group that produces this US VETS data, and they produce this data for all of the other staff offices and administrations. So why do they make this data? It's to support policy and operations used throughout the VA. One of their primary goals is to determine the population of veterans, which is used for budgeting with Congress. And they have, so that's their focus. It's quite broad. It's different than what we do in the Veterans Health Administration, where we're focused on the record level for a lot of the data. They're more focused on the population level, and you'll see that theme present itself throughout this talk. Some of their work that you may be familiar with is the VETPOP data, and that's data that's available for all veterans, and they do population projections, and it's used for planning and budgeting. And they also produce a Women's Veterans Report, and that summarizes the history of women and also projects their enrollment in the future. So I'll give you a couple examples of the data that's used by them. So this is a graph that shows female active military personnel, and I include it here because unlike the VHA, which we typically deal with the time ranges from about 1999 through the current, which is available in the CDW, This data here in VetPop goes back much farther. So this particular graph goes back to 1945, but their data actually goes back even further to the Spanish-American War. So this is around the 1900s, and they have data on the veterans from around 1900 through the current time. So that's it's a really broad sample, and it has a lot of patients in it. They're at about 38 million veterans at the moment. And I want to show you another one here, which can be useful if you're preparing a grant, for instance, on a disease that you're looking for a projection on. So this is women veterans as a percent of the veteran population. And here you can see the date that they've projected it out to. So this is 2040. Right now we're at about 10% enrollment of veterans, but this can go all the way up here to about 16% is what they're looking at in 2040. So hopefully that gives you at least a snapshot of what this U.S. Vets data can do. If you're looking for more information on U.S. Vets data, you can go to this website, va.gov/vetdata. You can find all kinds of different reports that they've put together, both on the U.S. Vets data, but also on other data sets that they've had. And I find it pretty useful to get a general idea of what's going on with the veteran population in particular subgroups. So let's get into how they make this data. So they acquire from a lot of different data sources. The Department of Defense, so that's when the person is just becoming a veteran, they're leaving service and transitioning. Here we have the Veterans Health Administration that I think we're most familiar with. But it goes all the way through end of life, so National Cemetery Administration contributes their data. We have the Veteran Benefits Administration and also the Social Security Administration. The Social Security Administration reviews the data that the U.S. Vets data source for Social Security numbers, gender, date of birth, and other aspects of the data. So it is fairly high quality because they're getting all these different sources, some of which may be authoritative. For instance, like the Social Security Administration is the authoritative data source for Social Security numbers, and some of them may be more authoritative, for instance, like who is a veteran, like the Department of Defense may be good at that. So they take all these different data sources, and then they aggregate them together, and they have a transparent quality framework that they use for this, so you can see exactly which data source they're prioritizing for which data element. And then you can access this currently on the Business Intelligence Service line, the BISL SAS grid. It's currently not research, but we'll talk about that at the end on how you can access it if you are research. And I'll jump now into the quality, and they've done quite a bit of quality assurance on this data, and they've divided it into different aspects of data quality, and I'll go through those different aspects here. I put this in here. This is from one of their documents. It says, U.S. Vets must be considered the gold standard for veteran data. Now, the context for that is they're the only group that, at least they're aware of and that I'm aware of, that tries to aggregate data across the Department of Veteran Affairs. And they take it from all these different sources, so they feel like they're a gold standard in the sense that it's sort of a consensus agreement on what those data elements are. When they aggregate this data from so many different sources, they run into problems specific to that. So for instance, if they have multiple data sources that report the same data element, then they need an adjudication process, and they've made that transparent, including the limitations of that process. And sometimes they only have a single data source for a particular data element. And in that case, it can't be verified against a different data source, and it also may not be available for everyone in the population. For instance, some of the data for the early patients in the early veterans in the sample from, say, the Spanish-American War, they wouldn't have things like socioeconomic data available for them like a veteran in today's time would. Here's an overview of how they do their accuracy. So they'll have, this is one of their metrics, well, they'll take what they've decided to be the gender, and then they'll list out the other sources for the gender, and then they'll do that for each veteran. And by comparing what they have to the other sources, they can create a table that looks like this with ones and zeros, whether it matches or not, and then they have this measure of concordance that they use here. And they report this concordance measure out for each of the variables in their data set. So you can see here is a couple of the common variables, gender, race, ethnicity, and then it will show you what the concordance is. Now they usually use a sort of a democratic way of doing it, where the the data source, the value is given to the most representative data source. And that's why you can see a lot of the concordances are high, because they're doing it based on a representative agreement. But at the same time, sometimes they prioritize sources that are less in agreement with the other sources, but they're also more authoritative. So if you want to see where they've struck that balance, you can read that in their documentation. Here's what they've done for validity. And they try to make sure, they try to cross-check different data elements between them to make sure that they make sense. So, for instance, you want the veteran's activation period to be before their birth as an example of a validity check. And they have, they listed out the sort of checks that they do in their documentation. This here on the data source, it shows you the preference of their data. So, for instance, date of birth here, they use the Social Security Administration as the first data source, and if it's not there, then they can go to this other data source. So they list all the data sources in this sort of order. They try to be timely about it. They rely on a lot of other data sources to contribute to their project, so they're at the mercy of when these other organizations contribute their data. But they have an update schedule, and they try to stick with that. They're currently looking at fiscal year FY17. And they have a couple of other metrics that they look at, like completeness, consistency, traceability, uniqueness. One thing that I think is important to, for this data set is that their uniqueness is based on the Social Security number. So each record has a Social Security number, and there's no duplicate Social Security numbers. So you can use that to trace patients from their data set into the VHA data if you have that Social Security number. It also has some limitations. They make certain assumptions that may seem unusual for a research context. For instance, sometimes they don't know what the gender is. And if none of the data sources are reporting a gender, but they feel like that patient or that veteran should be part of the data set, then they have ways of inferring the gender. So for instance, they have a table of names from the Social Security Administration that they can use to match a gender to a name. So, for instance, a name like John is typically male. So if they have the person's name as John, then they'll assign the gender male, even if that gender isn't known. Now, they do that to be representative for the population, so it might not be accurate at the individual record level, but for their purposes, because it's meant for a population-level assessment, they're okay with doing that. Now, if you're a researcher, you may or may not be okay with doing that. Depends on perhaps the scale of your study. The same goes for race and ethnicity. They have ways of inferring race and ethnicity that may be a little bit unusual for researchers, but it's meant to keep with the population level statistics that they're trying to do. Okay, so that's the story all the way up to the US Vets data itself. And now we're going to transition into the actual data source and what it looks like and what are the elements available. So this is how it exists currently within the Bissell SAS grid. Its layout is one dynamic file per fiscal year. So if the data element changes each year, then it will be given in each of the individual fiscal year files. An example of a data amount that might change is a veteran's income. There's also one master file, and that's for static data that doesn't change across time. So things that are in the static file might include date of birth, or race, ethnicity. These are the specific data elements that are in the static file, so name, date of birth, date of death, gender, race, ethnicity, their Social Security number, and then a number of different indicator flags to tell you which fiscal year has data on that patient. So for instance, or on that veteran. So a veteran may have data in, say, fiscal year 05, but they don't have data in fiscal year 17. And so you can look in the static file, and it will show you which of the dynamic data files have data on that veteran. Now I'm going to switch it over to my co-presenter here, Dr. Bhargava, and he's going to go into the specific data fields.
Hello, everyone. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the specific fields in the U.S. Veterans data set. Broadly, the fields can be described as where veterans live, who lives with veterans, some information on their finances, some information on education and employment, information on their health insurance, information on the benefits they receive and how they utilize those benefits, and also some information in enrollment in some veteran-specific programs. So regarding information on where veterans live, the U.S. Vets database has information on the state they live in as well as abbreviation. It has information on the FIPS code. It has information on their county as well as the zip code. And it also has information on the latitude and longitude of the veteran's place of residence. This information is used by U.S. Vets to impute some values such as the distance between the VA, the distance to the closest VA inpatient outpatient facilities. Other information on the community in which veterans live includes something like the RUCA code, which stands for the Rural Urban Commuting Area. It has information on whether or not their living area is considered urban. It has information on their congressional district of residence, and also has information on the VISN that that veteran belongs to. Information regarding who lives with veterans and also how they live. It has information whether or not the veteran owns or rents their home. It has information regarding the number of people in the veteran's household, whether or not the veteran is a single parent, whether or not there are children in the house, whether or not there are senior citizens in the house, and it also subsects the members of a household into age ranges. So as an example of what can be done with this data, this is an image produced in fiscal year 2015 that shows the percentage of veterans' households that have children. So this data set can be used. There are many such images in this derived from this data set, and this is just one of the more interesting ones that we found. Other information regarding veterans' finances, there is a competency determination whether or not the veteran is considered competent to receive payments directly, whether or not the veteran receives compensation or pension from the VA, and also some estimates about household income. Regarding information about veteran education and employment, there is a coding system for the highest education level completed, one if they completed high school, to whether or not they attended vocational technical school. There's also information on whether or not a veteran owns a business, and if so, what type. They have the different types of occupations broken up into alpha codes. And there's also an alphanumeric code, which more completely details the occupation of an individual veteran. Regarding information for veteran health insurance, there is this health insurance coverage indicator, which is a calculation determining the propensity of a veteran having major medical insurance. There is a yes or no whether or not a veteran had active health insurance in that fiscal year, either private or Medicaid. There is a determination whether or not the veteran had life insurance, if their Social Security number was included in the veteran group life insurance. Also information regarding the amount of their insurance policy, whether or not the veteran has active insurance with the VHA, and whether or not the veteran was enrolled in Medicare, and if so, what parts of Medicare they were enrolled in, A through D. Additional information includes information about the number of service-connected conditions a veteran has, whether or not a veteran used one or more VA benefits and services in that fiscal year, the date in which the veteran enrolled in healthcare benefits, and also determinations about what kind of care the veteran received in that fiscal year, whether or not they received inpatient and outpatient care, whether or not that care was at a VA facility or a non-VA facility, and also how many times they utilized care and for how long each care episode lasted. There's also some information about the cost of that care, specifically a numeric value of the VA inpatient and outpatient care, and also a numerical value of the non-VA inpatient outpatient care they received. Additionally, there is pharmacy utilization information, specifically if the veteran received VA pharmacy care in that fiscal year and the costs incurred by both inpatient and outpatient pharmacies. They also have some information regarding enrollment in some veteran-specific programs. Specifically, they have flags that whether or not the veteran was in the BDN, the Montgomery GI Bill, education programs, whether or not they took the post 9/11 education benefit, whether or not they received compensation pension, whether or not they took loan guarantee, if they're in the National Cemetery Administration, the Veterans Service Network, Life Insurance, Health Administration, or the Rehabilitation and Employment. Okay, so now I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Hauser. He will speak a little bit more about access to U.S. vets.
Thanks, Edgar. Yeah, certainly some interesting information in there. A lot of it's sensitive, and we want to make sure, just so everyone knows, we're not part of the data governance of this. We're mainly just users of it who stumbled upon it, and we're just wanted to get the word out that this is a really interesting data source, and it may help veterans. I know to date, it's been used for suicide prevention among veterans, and you can see some of the socioeconomic variables in there would likely have relevance to prediction of suicide. This is currently how we access it, and I'm not sure if this is how it's going to stay, but just to give you a sense of what's going on. So we access through a remote desktop connection into the Bissell SAS grid, and then in the SAS grid, we can see these files, and then that's how we can access the data source. That may change in the future. I think ideally we all like to have this available through a more traditional mechanism, like the EPASS if you're operational, or through DART if you're going through research. It's not quite there at the moment. If you do need to access this, you can email Fite. He's the lead on this for the U.S. Vets data source. You can also email me, and I'll put you in touch with him. We're sort of feeling out how many people are going to need this, and we're going to try to, you know, push it through the EPASS and the DART you know, as quickly as we can. And I know some of the people here with the VIREC are also working on that as well. So we just want to end the talk by saying thank you to VIREC for letting us give this presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions that we can at the moment.
All right, thank you both for taking the time to present today's session. I have one question so far from the audience, but we still have plenty of time in this session. To the audience, please feel free to send in any questions you have, and we'll get through them as they come in. So the first question, can non-VA staff, i.e. university researchers, also access this data source?
That's a data governance question, so it's really up to, it's going to be up to the owners of that data, which is the Office of Enterprise Integration, and I think they handle it currently on a case-by-case basis. So I think you'd have to reach out to them, explain what you're planning on doing with it, and then they may want to anonymize it in different ways or ask to have a VA partner with that. But I think they're in the early stages of setting up the data governance, and so they may be interested to hear from you because you're a good stakeholder for trying to figure out a process.
All right, thank you. The next question, any sense of how complete these data are?
I think it's very complete in terms of the veterans. In terms of some of the socioeconomic variables, it depends which subsection of the population you want to work with. So a lot of the distant veterans may not have as complete information as more recent veterans. And I think it's going to depend on which variable you're looking for specifically. With the socioeconomic variables, those are mostly, from what I understand, pulled from third parties. And so they may not be as complete as some of the more defined variables like Social Security number, gender, age, ethnicity, that sort of common demographic.
All right. There are several questions now, so we're going to try to run through these quickly. So if you want to use these data for research, what do you need to submit, or what proposals are considered appropriate?
I think that's one of the good things about where we are right now is the owners of the U.S. Vets data are willing to share this. They're not really sure what the interest level is, and I think that'll determine how fast they move on it. So if you have a good idea and you think this data is going to be valuable, they want to share it with you. So contact me, contact Vigde, who works with them, and let them know what you're trying to do. And they're looking for good ideas. They've shared with this with select individuals, but they haven't put it out there like we're doing now with this talk for the broader community. But they're looking to see you know, how they can be a good participant in the Department of Veteran Affairs and share this with people who can use it. They put a lot of work into it, and I think they have a, you know, a sense of pride in that, and they want to be able to share this as much as they can.
All right, that answers the next question. If someone had asked how they can express their interest for these data. Okay, so is U.S. Vets for both operational and research use?
Right now it's hosted in the operational side of things, but I believe that they have shared it for individual projects with researchers. So I think that while it's more established operationally, I think it's also amenable to research, and I'd encourage people who are interested in using it for research to reach out so that we have a sense of what the interest is in the research side of things. You know, we don't really know. It could be anything from maybe one group is interested in it to maybe there is a dozen groups that are interested in it, and that would affect how they would want to roll out the access. So if it's one group, they may just do it on a case-by-case basis, but if it's a dozen groups, then they'll establish a more formal governance structure to it for moving forward.
All right, where can we find a list of available variables in the data set?
You can email me. I have the data dictionary. Fikte also has it, and he can share it. We found it very helpful just perusing it to see what's actually in there. It goes into more detail than we gave in our talk. For instance, it'll tell you the data type, and if it's a categorical variable, it'll tell you what categories are listed in there. It gives information on the origin of the data source, and they also have separate documentation on quality metrics they've done for the data. That's available by email if you want to send me a message.
Okay. Is FY17 the most recent year available?
FY17 is the most recent year available, and the reason for that is, I'm told, because they have the Social Security Administration verify all the data that they put together, and so there's certain time lags between when data becomes available, when they process it, and then when it gets verified. And so there's a whole data pipeline there that leads to some of the delay. But they're actively maintaining this, even if it is a little behind the present day.
Okay. Does this data set identify a veteran CBOC within the VISN field?
Outpatient clinic?
I'm not sure.
They have done quite a lot of work on longitude, latitude. They know the residence location, and then they have derived variables between the residence of the veteran and different medical facilities. I'm not sure exactly if they have CBOC or not. I know they have certain medical facilities. I don't know if CBOC is specifically included in there. If you are interested in that, I'd suggest emailing me. I can send you the data dictionary, and you might be able to find it on there. Vigde is really good at those kind of questions, too, if you want to ask him about anything that you're reading in the data dictionary or additional questions you may have about whether certain data elements are in there or how they're derived. But he's really the person who made this data source and works with the team who's made it. So those kind of detailed questions are good for him.
Okay, thank you. We've still got about another 10 to 15 questions, just to give you a heads up.
Okay.
Okay, the next one. What is the source of the data? For example, income, education, living situation?
It really depends on what the data element is. So it can range from anything like the Social Security Administration is the source for the Social Security number. But the other socioeconomic data, it really varies. It could be anything from a department like Department of Defense to a third party that they've purchased the data from. And I don't know exactly who that, quote, third party is, but these are people that they collect data, and then the Office of Enterprise Integration will purchase the data from these third parties, and then they'll fold that into their projections that they use for populations, but it's also part of the data set. So I think it really depends on which specific element you're looking at and how they do that. And Figday would know the exact origin for it. Some of the third parties may be more opaque than some of the more authoritative sources as well.
All right, thank you. Does U.S. Vets identify VHA-enrolled veterans?
It does. It has a veteran flag similar to the veteran flag in the CDW, and they use that to identify veterans.
Okay. What permission do we need to get, and from whom to access the data set?
We're still working out the data governance. Right now, we're trying to pull together interests. So if you want to send me an email or send Pete an email, then we'll inform you of what the data governance will be for how to get access.
The MVI does a similar blending of various data sources. Is there some chance that in the future the MVI and your source will be blended?
I am unfamiliar with that acronym.
The Master Veterans Index, I believe.
Oh,
I hope I'm right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think Figday would be he's part of the group that actually builds the data, so he's probably better at answering that question than I am. You could send him an email and he would let you know. He's mentioned that to me before. I don't recall the details of it.
Okay. Can we do exploratory study without IRB?
Again, I don't know what the data governance is going to be. It's going to depend on the situation.
Okay.
And we can work that out.
Okay.
Send your question to us.
Sure. Are there documentation for U.S. vets available somewhere other than this presentation?
As far as I know, they haven't made this available online, although that sounds like a good idea. In putting together this talk, I sort of put together a packet of information that they have on quality and data dictionary and other things. So I'm happy to send that out. Also happy to pass on that they should make this data available, like that sort of information available online if they don't already. And they may, I just may not know about it.
Is there any historical data available?
Yeah, I think that this is like the data set for historical data, because just in perusing it, we've seen records that go back to like 1800 something something. So this is very much historical data. And I've seen some interesting studies people have done on looking at occupations for veterans, and they've done comparisons between different time frames, so like 1945 versus now, and they look at how occupations have changed over, you know, that really long period of time. So yeah, that's definitely good for historical data.
Okay. How is care of cost information, VA and non-VA, obtained?
I don't know exactly how they do that. We have to look in the data dictionary, and if it's not complete from there, we can email the team and ask them how they do that. Figday is the person who is on that team, and he would be the person I would go to for answering that question.
Okay. This person, so looking at the limitations slide, I think it was slide 18 this person wrote, are there flags to track what the data source used is?
Yeah, there are, and if I want to flip back through here, I'll find this is what their documentation looks like, so you can track what the source is. So here's the data source selection preference, and it'll these acronyms are explained. So like this VADER, I think, is part of the DOD, if I'm right, and this is Social Security Administration. They have, you know, these different data sources each have their own. Like some people may recognize some of these.
Okay. So next question, how do the expenditure information for inpatient and outpatient care, et cetera, compare with information in the HERC user level costs data set?
That's a good question. I think that the U.S. vets folks would love to have people answer those types of questions. And so if that was your focus and you asked them to do an analysis comparing their data set to the HERC data set, that's the sort of thing they would love to see, because they've sort of worked in their own silo. They don't really know how it compares, as far as I can tell. And so they're interested in people that would like to compare their data, because they want to have the best data available. And if they think that the HERC data is better, then they'll probably switch to it. And I've done comparisons with them before, and they've thought that that was, you know, interesting stuff. And so, yeah, I would email that question to me or Fikde and follow up on that, and you can take a look at it.
Who owns US Vets?
The owner of this data source is the Office of Enterprise Integration, specifically the Data Analysis Group. Here's the org chart for that. And this is the Data Governance and Analytics Group. Now, they're the people who put it together. I don't know if I would say they own it per se, but they're the folks who put it together. I imagine each of the data sources owns their own data source. But they are the people who put together the U.S. Vets data. So they're, I guess, the owners of it.
Okay. Are there a service branch information or other service-related date information in the U.S. Vets data?
Yeah, definitely. We didn't include everything in the presentation in terms of the specific data elements, but there is certainly information about service. Hold on a second. Anchor wants to answer this question.
Okay.
So regarding military history data, for instance, they have there's a separate portion of the military history data that they have, so they'll have indicators whether or not a person was in the Spanish-American War, whether or not they were in the Vietnam War, World War One, World War Two, and also more ancillary data regarding the service type for a veteran.
Okay, thank you. How is the cost info defined? Is that from DSS cubes?
I don't think it's from DSS cubes, but to answer any question related to how is this defined, they list how they get it in their data dictionary, and I've shown that here. They have a pretty transparent, I think, source for where they get it from, and if you need more information than provided in their quality documentation, then you may have to ask the team themselves exactly how they do it.
All right, thank you. I've still got about 5 more questions. Do you have any recommendations for the best way to interpret cost data?
I'm gonna leave that one. I don't want to be the expert. I'm sure it's going to depend on your situation and your question.
U.S. Vets is data on all vets or a representative sample? And if the latter, what is the sample size?
It's data on all vets, and that's different than veterans that have enrolled in the Veteran Health Administration. So you can have a veteran who doesn't receive their health care, and so they won't be in a source like the CDW. But they would be in the U.S. Vet source.
Were these
like 38 million?
Okay. The next question: were these data validated against veteran-reported data?
I think with any of the specifics of the data element, you'd want to check their data dictionary and then ask them specifically. I think when I've compared the different data sources, I think one of the advantages of the Veterans Health Administration is that they have repeated visits where you can ask the patient what is their race, what is their ethnicity. But at the same time, the U.S. Vets data source pulls in census data. So that's, you know, by a lot of people considered the gold standard for what is race, what is ethnicity. If somebody answers it on the U.S. Census, then that is there. You know, designation. So it may depend on when it was asked and who it was asked, but they do have that data in here.
All right, just a couple more questions. Are you planning to organize a joint intramural or extramural working group for governance?
That sounds like a good idea. If we get enough interest, I think they would be interested in that. I think they also have, within their group, they have their own sort of requirements. In terms of how it would work, but I'm sure they would be interested in hearing about how other people may use it, and that would influence their data governance. So, yeah, if you are interested in using this data, be sure to email us so that we have a good representation of what the interest level might be, and certainly if it's large enough, then having a working group sounds like a good idea.
All right. Does each data source have its own limitations that their combined use addresses?
I'm sure there's that's kind of a broad question, so I'll try to answer as best I can. Each individual data, I'm sure, has limitations, and this group is, because they're integrating so many different data sources, they're trying to make that adjudication, and they make that adjudication based on who they think is the authoritative source for that data, and if there's not a clear authoritative source, then they tend to use a consensus. So I think it depends on the specific data element, but that seems to be their general process.
Okay. Do decedents remain in the static database only or also in the dynamic files in the years prior to their death?
Decedent is a person who died? Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I believe that they're in the static file forever, and then they're in each fiscal year if they have data available for that fiscal year. So I imagine if somebody has passed and they're no longer in the next fiscal year. So it's how I believe they do it. Like the last fiscal year isn't everybody. It's only the people that have data on in that year.
Okay. All right. Those are all the questions we had from the audience. Would either of you like to make any last comments before we close out the session?
Thanks for everybody for coming and appreciate the interest.
Thank you.
This is Linda Koch. Could I say something?
Please, go ahead.
I just want everybody to know that once the U.S. Vets data are available for VHA operations and research through EPAS and DART, VIREC will post information about the data, including the quality information in the data dictionary that we've been hearing about on the VHA data portal in a U.S. Vets data source page. And the origins of many of the data elements will be posted in those documentation. And I want to thank our presenters today for bringing this to your attention. VIREC is working with National Data Systems, with the Office of Enterprise Integration, and with the SAS Grid folks to make this data available very soon if we can. Thank you.
All right. George and Ankur, thank you so much for taking the time to present today's session. To the audience, if you have additional questions or comments, you can contact the presenters directly. George, if you could turn to the last slide. Please tune in for the next session in VIREC's Database and Methods Cyber Seminar Series on Monday, June 3rd, yeah, that's the one, at 1 p.m. Eastern. Pete Richardson and Catherine Royce will be here to present on using CDW to define a study cohort by multiple criteria. We hope to see you there.